Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
On the line now are two ordinary people with an exceptional story. Mary Doolin is a mother to 9-year-old Joshua, a boy who is waiting for a kidney transplant. And PSNI Chief Inspector Graeme Dodds is a newspaper reader, and thank God for that. Lads, you're very welcome to the show.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Fine, thank
you. Not too bad. All well.
It's good to have you on the show. Mary, I'll start with you. Can you just explain what life is like at the moment for yourself and Joshua?
I suppose it's stressful, if nothing else. You know, Joshua is in dialysis 3 times a week, you know, 4 to 4 hours each time. So as you can see, he's just not having a good life at the minute of a child. You know, he can't really enjoy himself
It must be very taxing on him. You were up in the hospital yesterday when we got in touch with you. How much does the dialysis take out of Joshua?
He does be exhausted, you have to say. You know, he sleeps when he goes up. Obviously, the travelling up and down is a lot on him. And then when he's under dialysis, he's on it about 3 hours at a time. So taking off and that is 4 hours. So it's a full day's travelling, really, when you think about it, you know. So
yeah,
it's just, he's wrecked. He definitely is wrecked.
It's a lot out of his little life.
Yeah.
So obviously a donor, this is, you know, one of those things that, you know, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? What did you do to try and help find a donor? You must have tried everything you could think of.
Well, I did indeed. Yes, I was stuck to mum. I wasn't going to give up until he got his kidney. You know.
Yeah.
I put it in many papers and on Facebook and social media and anything you'd think of. I put it there. You know, just to let people know that he was looking for his kidney, because it was. I always knew that it was going to be difficult. You know. It's one of those things that people don't think about, I suppose, as much until it comes to your own doorstep.
Absolutely not. Graeme, you were reading the newspaper one day and you saw the ad asking for a donor. What made you think, you know, this is a young lad I can help?
Well, as you say, it was very lucky that the appeal was in the local newspaper, the Impartial Reporter in Enniskillen. Mm-hmm. And I had that thought, and I think without hesitation, just thought, I can do this. The background for me was about 4 years ago, a police colleague had experienced kidney failure, and I had volunteered to be tested and to make a donation of my kidney to him. He, thankfully for him and his family, got better and didn't require a transplant. But I was always conscious that they had my file and that I'd gone through a fairly detailed testing regime. So when I saw Joshua's appeal, I just thought, I have to do this, because, you know, his smile was what attracted me to the article. He just had been in smile, and despite all the problems he faced, he and Mary and the family are just such lovely people with such determination. So to me, I suppose it's what a police officer does. I've spent 23 years in the PSNI, and, you know, you go to work every day to help people. And to me, this was it didn't require any thought on my part. I thought, I'm going to do this.
It's incredible. So what was your next step? Did you, you know, ring up Mary? Did you email? What did you do?
Well, I got straight onto the hospital in Belfast. The city hospital handled all the transplants for Northern Ireland, so rang them up and explained who I was and that they had a file on me, and asked would they check me against Joshua. And they said, yeah, we'll sort that out. And they came back and said, actually, this is really amazing. You're on paper or a match for him. But we'll need you to do more tests. So I went up and did some more fairly thorough tests.
Yeah.
And the various bits involved had to be done. And then they came back and said, actually, without being a relative, you're a really, really good match. What do you want to do? And I, again, no hesitation, said, no, I'm going to donate. I then let Mary know via a text message that I had volunteered. And then the hospital eventually let her know once they were happy. They didn't want to obviously disappoint anybody. Once they were totally happy that it was good to go, we were able to meet virtually and say it's just something that I'm really privileged to do. It's not that often that you get to make such a clear difference to somebody. And to me, you know, my part of it is very small. I'm doing what I think certainly any good police officer would do. But any person in it, you know, you see somebody in need, you shouldn't ask why you should help. You should just help. Joshua is the one that's doing the work here.
It's incredible. Well, it's not a small thing. Let's talk about the operation. So what do you have to undergo and how long is the recovery?
It's considered major surgery, so it's about a four-hour operation to remove the kidney. Obviously, that's a fairly large amount of work in itself. And then you're talking a number of months of recovery to sort of get back up and walking again. And then obviously there are lifetime changes in that you've gone from two kidneys to one. Now, you can perfectly function on one kidney, and that's why I would always encourage people to consider live donation. But it does alter your future life, because they advise you have to be careful and be aware that you only have one kidney. So be aware of what activities you take part in. There'll be certain dietary changes, because a person who donates a kidney is at risk of high blood pressure and some other medical complications. But to me, again, I see a positive in it, because all the things that they advise you to do after you donate are actually very good sense for anybody, in that, you know, exercise more, eat a better diet, maybe drink a bit less. Now, they've reassured me I can have the odd G&T, which is quite keen for me. But, it's all fairly good stuff.
Yeah.
So even the major thing of donating a kidney, actually, I think I get benefits out of it as well. And there is research out there to say that actually people who donate a kidney can actually live longer, both in terms of its physical benefits, but also the mental benefits of an altruistic donation. Have some, they believe, something attached to it, in that it makes you feel better for what you've done. There will be lifetime changes that I'll have to be aware of and have to factor in. But for giving Joshua, his life back effectively, as Mary has said, it's a minor price for me and a major gain for Joshua.
Absolutely. Mary, have you any idea when the operation is going to happen?
Probably about end April, towards May time, I'd say. You know, operations haven't started up again, just as you know, because of the coronavirus. They have all stopped at the minute. So it will start up in April time, and hopefully, maybe the first of the list, hopefully.
Mary, what was it like telling Joshua that you'd had a donor?
Well, Joshua's super cool. He says, "Oh, that's cool, Mummy," you know.
Yeah.
But ever since now, he's been on a buzz, you know. He's just watching the date to come, and he just wants to get it over and done with, you know.
I can imagine.
He's just really exhausted going up and down, so he's just fed up at this stage, you know. He's just browned off, so and this is, you know, as I said before, it's going to give him his life back, you know.
And yeah. Graeme, you won't meet him until after the operation and you're recovered. That's probably when you'll get to meet him, is that right? Face to face?
Yeah, it's a strange situation, Jennifer. I suppose it's what COVID has brought us, that we've chatted online, and I've messaged the family almost every day to keep up with things. But we won't actually physically meet until my kidney's already inside Joshua. But we've already struck up a really good bond, and a real coincidence, and I didn't know this before we actually met. Joshua is really into the police and has always loved the idea of the police. So he's pleased that I'm donating to him, and I'm really pleased that somebody who loves the police is on the other side.
Yeah.
So I've promised him that when we meet in hospital, I'm going to give him my police cap, my police whistle, and attached to my whistle, I have a St. Michael's medallion, St. Michael, the patron saint of police officers. I have that and a pair of my handcuffs, and I'm going to bring those along to the hospital, and when we meet after the transplant, I'm going to present them to him then. Because, you know, that will be the start, I think, of a long lasting friendship and bond with him and myself and the family.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
It's really positive for me.
It is really positive. Mary, do you think Joshua is more excited about the whistle or the kidney donation?
I think a bit of both. What can I say? I think it's
an incredible story. And just going back to becoming alive donator, is it an easy thing to do, Graeme? If people are listening now and want to change someone's life, how do they go about it, or how do we go about it?
You know, it's remarkably easy in terms of the process. You contact your local kidney donation centre. So in Northern Ireland, that's the Belfast City Hospital, I believe, in South, it's down in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easily found on the internet. And it's a case of they send you out a form, you fill in a very basic medical form about who you are, what your condition is, any issues, and you put that in. and you're then brought up for tests and interviews. And you can go one of two ways. You can be a directed donor where you're donating to somebody you actually know beforehand. And they will, if that's the case, they'll match you up against their medical record, particularly if they're already suffering from a major problem and are on file. In my case, I was a what they call a non-directed altruistic donor, that I didn't know who I was donating to. I only had a name. I didn't actually have a relationship with the person. But same thing happened after I filled my initial form in. They brought me up for, it's a fairly searching day of tests where you're scanned, poked, prodded, and you're tested to make sure that you're in full physical health. But again, it's just a good physical. And after that, then you've various interviews in terms of psychological assessment, a medical assessment or medical interview where a surgeon puts you through, you know, what's going to happen and the very real risks of major surgery. And the final thing is an interview with the Human Tissue Authority. And they're an independent body who just check that you're not making any money out of it, that you are fully aware of all the risks involved in donating. So you're talking about from registering to being in a position where you're waiting on a date to go of only about 6 months. I must say that live donation is still seen as the best option for people who are very sick. It's, you know, the most healthy organ you're going to get, obviously, and they can match you up very well against somebody. And even if you don't have anybody to donate to, you can, say, be a non-directed donor where you offer your kidney up and it could go anywhere within, you know, the UK or Ireland or wider.
And change someone's life.
You know, it is just like, it's life-changing. So for me, it was like an epiphany. I just thought, I'm doing this. And I had really, it sounds strange for somebody waiting for major surgery, but I really can't wait. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think, you know, I've spent 23 years as a police officer in rural Northern Ireland, and every day I've went to work to try and help people and make a difference. So I feel so privileged that, you know, I can make such a clear, identifiable difference, both to Joshua and his family. And, you know, they're travelling from Enniskill into Belfast three times a week for surgery. He's on about 25 tablets a day. You know, and he and his wider family, you know, from across Enniskill and down into to Granard, you know, they've all been so supportive and all tried to help. But it's just, you know, amazing that I'm a match, and I'm only up the road here in Oma. So it's just, seriously, it's a very small world. But to me, it's a great privilege, and, you know, I'm just delighted to help.
And after the surgery and recovery, it'll get you out of a load of household chores, because they're like, can you empty the dishwasher? Sorry, I just gave a kid a kidney.
I mean, if you spoke to my wife, Nicola, you'd probably get the reaction that I don't do a lot now of that nature. I'm actually, for a senior police officer, I'm specifically excluded from emptying the dishwasher because I once pulled it open and everything fell out. So my senior responsibility in the policing world doesn't extend to home. But, you know, it'll be a good relaxing sort of period afterwards just to get back to normal. But, you know, I'm really confident in the team up at Belfast to make sure that, you know, everything's done right and that I'm out and about. And we're looking forward to, once COVID is lifted as well, I promised Joshua and Mary that I'll bring Joshua in for a tour of the police station in Enniskillen and let him hopefully get a ride out in the police boat and see what we have to offer down there. So, you know, we've plenty to look forward to. And I think overall with this whole process, COVID, you know, the last year right across Ireland, it's been such a dark time for all of us. And hopefully this is a good news story. And I think, you know, there are other people who've done this. I'm, you know, not make myself anything special. To me, it's not anything special. It's what one human being should do for another. And hopefully it will give a wee bit of a hope across, you know, Ireland when people see that, you know, despite a hard year, there's still good things out there and people are still good.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. And I think a lot of people listen to this who maybe want to do something good, who have never thought that this was possible. Now you guys have put it into their heads that there is such a thing as live donation, and this is a thing you can do to change someone's life. It's such a gorgeous story. I wish you both the very, very best of luck. Will you give Joshua my best as well? And maybe we'll check in with you when after the operation and you're all recovered and see how you guys are getting on. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye, guys. There we go. That is Mary Dolan and Chief Inspector Graeme Dodds. Thank you so much for taking our call today. What a gorgeous story. See, there's still some good people left out there. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.